Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi everyone, it's Gavin J, the best thing since rabbits, and you're listening to The Therapy Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I talked to health coach Ashley. Ashley, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
So great. I'm so glad to be here, Gavin. Thank you.
We're glad to have you on the show. Ashley, by the way, it's about 5:30 p.m. right now for me, and it's 10:30 a.m. for Ashley. So she's all fresh and awake, and I'm tired. Ashley, talk to us a bit about your background and how you got to where you are now. I think that'd be interesting for our listeners to understand yeah. more about.
Yes, absolutely. So yes, I am a health and wellness coach. I'm also a certified mindset coach. And I got here in sort of, I think, an unconventional way. I was really struggling with a lot of my own health issues and just had these symptoms that it was like, no matter what I did or what doctor I saw, nothing helped me to feel better. And I was really, really struggling with like weight gain. I used to joke that I would look at food and I would feel like I gained weight just automatically by looking at it, and lots of brain fog, exhaustion, fatigue, hair loss, just so many things. And as time went on, and as I went to see multiple rounds of doctors, nobody could really figure things out. And so I got to a place where I found a doctor. They sort of figured out what was going on with me, and that was really helpful. And from there, it spearheaded this journey of really being able to help heal myself from the inside out and to really just figure out, gosh, what is my body telling me when I have brain fog? What is my body telling me when I can't release that weight? What's going on? And the more that I figured things out, I was able to lose 55 pounds. I put some autoimmune issues into remission. And in that journey, I was like, wow, these tools that I have figured out, I need to help other women with this, because I know women struggle the same way that I do, but there's not a lot of like cohesive, comprehensive information that gets women specifically on the right track to healing and better health. So it was really through the guise of my own journey that I realized, yeah, this is actually what I should be doing for my life.
It's often when I speak to people, they usually experience something themselves. It happens so much. And sometimes it's a very unfortunate situation, and sometimes it's just an unfortunate situation, or it might be a positive situation, but something happens to the person which motivates or pushes them on to kind of help others kind of thing. I've noticed that as a common theme, you know, and it sounds like it's the same with you as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, we often make, if you have been in this case for health, you know, if you've been a patient and you have experienced things that are so profound and impactful to your life, and then are able to turn a corner and feel better, or, you know, to heal some of those health issues, sometimes we know more than doctors. And I, you know, that probably sounds fairly pompous to say, but the reality is we've lived it. We've tried the things. We've made ourselves human experiments in, you know, this solution or that solution. And we actually come to the table with so much helpful information because we have that lived experience.
Which is brilliant. What kind of health symptoms were you struggling with? If we can go into a bit more detail about that.
And, yeah, definitely.
You know, your health. Yeah. And how did you know something was wrong?
Yeah. So it was, this all took place about 10 years ago is when things really started getting going for me. And at the time I was working at a technology startup company, and I didn't think of myself as old back then. I was 39 then, but I was working with kids who were like 22, 23, 24, and the expectation was very heavy to put in lots of hours, lots of time, lots of energy. And I just wasn't sure, was it my age that I was experiencing this really deep brain fog? You know, I would struggle to remember what I was trying to say in a meeting. I was very, very tired about 2 p.m. It's normal for our bodies to take this little dip in energy, but I was like taking a nap in some of our smaller private offices because I was so tired. And then the weight loss was really difficult. I was cutting back on calories. I was, you know, exercising more. I was doing all these things that should cause me to lose weight. And I was actually just gaining weight and I couldn't really figure out what was going on. And then couple that with, you know, hair loss, and I had these weird rashes on my arms, and it just, my body just felt like it was failing. And that the hardest part was that I would go see a doctor and say, you know, these are all the things that are happening. And they'd look at me and they'd say, well, I don't know, you just have to like move more, eat less. Good luck. Come back in 6 months. And like, none of it was helpful.
It sounds like, obviously at that time, no one was really understanding what was going on. And people just kind of randomly like mentioning, well, try this and try that. And, you know, were there any tests that were offered or anything like that? Blood tests or?
Yeah. And so that's a number of doctors that I saw. They would take a couple vials of blood and they would, you know, check my thyroid hormone levels and just sort of, you know, basic blood tests. And every single time I would go, they would say, I don't know, Ashley, everything looks really normal. Just come back in 6 months. And I got so tired of hearing that because I wasn't normal. My health issues were impacting my performance at work, my performance as a mom, and I was a single mom at that time. And so the urgency for me to feel more energetic, better, it was immediate. I needed to be feeling great. And so thankfully, I ended up meeting with a functional or holistic practitioner. And, you know, meeting with her was really fun because she sat down with me. She asked me hundreds of questions and took 16 vials of blood. And for every other doctor I had been to, I saw them for maybe 6 or 7 minutes. With this woman, it was about a 90-minute session, all of these questions, all of these blood tests. And when she came back, she said, Ashley, honey, I get it. I know why you don't feel well. You have Hashimoto's disease, which is an autoimmune disease that impacts the thyroid. You have hypothyroidism, and you have severe nutrient deficiencies, which meant that my body, no matter what food I ate, my body was not getting the nutrition that it needed. I barely registered any vitamin D in my blood. And so no matter what I did, like there was something systemically wrong with my body. And this is really, I really advocate strongly for women to find some of the more holistic or alternative practitioners. The lab ranges that they use for blood testing are different. The way that they approach health and healing is different. Whereas conventional medicine, we say, oh, you don't feel well, you have a headache, here's a, you know, a pill for that. Whereas with alternative and more holistic or functional medicine, we say, okay, what is causing that headache? We can do something about it, but let's figure out what's causing it so that we can actually do something that's more effective for your body in healing. So after that whole situation of meeting with this particular functional practitioner, it completely changed my mind of what I needed to do, how I needed to move forward. Because nothing for, you know, 3+ years, I had been floating around with zero answers and feeling worse and worse and worse. And so the testing was helpful, but looking at it in a different range, in a different way, that was the part that really just changed the whole trajectory for me.
A holistic practitioner. I mean, I haven't really heard of, that kind of practitioner before. Do you know a bit about what they do and what their role is?
Yeah, definitely. That's like I say, they are often, in the United States anyway, they're often like a certified nurse practitioner. Some of them are medical doctors, but what they do is they look at why was I not losing weight? It wasn't necessarily because I wasn't working out or I wasn't eating the right foods, but there actually was something wrong with my gut health. There was something wrong with my thyroid. And so being able to take lab draws and have a very different reference range gives them a clue to say, oh, there's something different happening here. And then instead of just giving me a Band-Aid, giving me a pill, the conversation becomes, what else do we need to do? Let's look at your full and complete person and say, okay, let's look at nutrition. Let's look at sleep habits. Let's look at stress reduction. These are not things that you talk about with your regular conventional doctor. And so here in the United States, functional medicine is becoming very, very popular. And I know that in other countries, it's really, Australia is another place where functional medicine is really becoming well adopted, because it's allowing a patient to feel like they have some efficacy to heal themselves. Instead of just waiting for the doctor to like heal you and make you feel better, I can come home and I can make intentional choices that are really going to help me move the needle in my health and healing. So it's a really different way to approach medicine. I truly see it as the wave of the future for medicine.
It sounds it, you know, and it's, I mean, you finally, in the end, you got a diagnosis. Tell us a bit how you got to that point and what the diagnosis was.
Yeah, definitely. So it was all of the vials of blood that this functional practitioner took, and hearing that I had an autoimmune disease and nutrient deficiencies, it was really shocking, because I would like to have thought that I was a pretty decent eater. It wasn't like I was, you know, eating fast food or takeaway every single day. I was trying to eat salads and chicken, things that were healthy. But I think hearing, you know, Hashimoto's, like I said, it's an autoimmune disease that impacts the thyroid and the function of the thyroid. And then hypothyroidism is when your thyroid doesn't give out enough thyroid hormone. So the two of those in combination are causing a lot of inflammation in your body, really causing your body to basically be in a constantly stressed state and like it needs to repair itself all the time. And as a result, then your body, like I experienced, your body is not digesting the nutrients from the food. It's not able to do what it needs to do as a body because it feels sick. It feels like, you know, it's like all of these symptoms that you have are little white flags that your body is putting up to say something's wrong inside. I need some help. And so it was, I felt very relieved to get the diagnoses because I felt like I had a path forward. Whereas before it had been so many years of doctors just saying, I don't know. And that was frustrating.
Absolutely. And tell us a bit about the diagnosis and what it means.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Hashimoto's is a autoimmune disease of the thyroid. And when your thyroid is responsible for over 80 functions of your body. And so if your thyroid is not working correctly, whether you're a woman or a man, it doesn't matter. If your thyroid doesn't work well, you find that you have problems with metabolism, weight gain, hair loss. Sometimes women have thyroid issues that cause overgrowth of hair. And like, you know, women talk about like their little mustache and stuff like that. Like the thyroid does so much for our bodies to keep us stable. And so if your thyroid is not optimally working, the rest of your body is not working well. And so it's essential to figure out, and that's where those different reference ranges, when you have functional medicine looking at it, it's a more narrow range of lab results that they look at to say, yes, your thyroid isn't within normal range or not. And then you know what you can do about it from there.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Actually, thank you for sharing that with us about, you know, your diagnoses of Hashimoto's disease and hydrothyroidism. Were there any other lab results that showed the issues at all?
I think the nutrient deficiencies were the most notable piece. There were also markers of inflammation. So they can test your blood to see if you have these markers that show there is systemic inflammation happening in your body. And when we see that, one of the easiest ways for me to explain inflammation is when you eat a really hot, spicy pepper, like a jalapeno or something, and your nose starts to get, you know, stuffy and your nose starts to run, that is actually inflammation in your body. And so when you think about having inflammatory markers in your blood results, you can imagine that your whole body is reacting like it's just eaten a hot pepper. And over time, those inflammation markers in your labs get higher and higher as the inflammation goes unattended. And that's why it's so important to have the labs that can give you that information so that you can start doing something about it.
Absolutely. Can I just, you might have mentioned it before, I just want to ask, how long did it take from the symptoms and going to health practitioners before you got to the point where you got the diagnosis?
Yeah. So it was, I mean, I would say conservatively 3 years. So I hit this place where I was
3 years.
Yeah. And I had been feeling, I spent a couple of years just feeling not great. And it kind of trickled in and got a little bit worse. So it was the day that I decided to draw a line in the sand and say, I can't live like this anymore. I've got to keep going to different doctors. And so I saw an endocrinologist, a cardiologist, my function, you know, a general practitioner. I saw everybody, and it was 3 years before I was able to get a diagnosis that actually helped me, where I could start moving forward and healing.
Gosh, what you must have been going for 3 years. Talk to us a little bit about that and how you managed your mental well-being in that time.
Yeah, it was really, really difficult. Anxiety and depression were a huge piece of where I was in that stage of life. And it was difficult. You know, I mentioned I was a single mom at the time, and I had a great career and was able to provide for my son and do what I needed to do. But it was so difficult to know that I was not feeling like myself, and yet nobody was able to help me. And it's a very lonely feeling to recognize that, gosh, I feel like I'm trying everything and nothing's working. And I don't know who else to reach out to. So it really, I think a lot of the anxiety was actually driven by some of the poor gut health and some of the things that were going on internally. But it didn't matter at the time, because it was hard. It was really hard. There were a lot of sad days. There was a lot of frustration. A lot of really trying hard to pull myself together every morning and say, okay, I'm going to try again. I'm going to go to another doctor. I'm going to make another phone call. I'm going to try not to forget what I need to say at work. It was a lot. It was a lot.
Of course. And you were like a mom as well, a new mom. Yeah. Is that right?
At the time, my son was probably 11, maybe.
Okay.
So, and he just, you know, he was busy. He was snowboarding and he was playing lacrosse, and we were active and busy doing things. And that was so hard. I didn't have the energy or the motivation to keep up with him. And talk about feeling like a bad mom, you know, when your kid is like, hey, mom, you know, let's go practice. And I'm like, I can't, I'm so tired. Like I felt like I was failing as a mom, and that was really difficult.
And but far from that is because you're experiencing the symptoms of the health conditions. So you had to contend with that and be a mom at the same time, which must have been, gosh, I mean, you know, I don't know what it's like to be a mom, but I'm sure it's from what I can see from my own mum and other mums, it's a lot of hard work. You know, a lot of hard work. Something us guys will never probably understand, obviously. But, you know, so you were going through all of that. I mean, it's a lot to go through. And would you, in terms of moving forwards now, what has helped you kind of turn things around?
Yeah, definitely. So getting the diagnosis was huge because it gave me that first step. And what I realized very, very quickly was one of the things that I could do for my own agency and sort of to feel like I had control over the situation was to change the food that I ate. And it seems so simple, but I started doing a lot of research around an anti-inflammatory diet and what that would do for me with thyroid issues, with gut health issues. And so I started giving it a go, and I was shocked at how quickly I started to feel better. Some of the brain fog that would settle in, that really started to lift. A lot of the depression, it felt like it lightened. I started losing weight, not fast, but it just like it was noticeable. And it was really just by changing the food that I ate.
In terms of, talk to us a bit about the diet, what kind of food it involved.
Yep, definitely. So an anti-inflammatory diet is a really specific diet. And what it does is two things. Most people hear that phrase and they're like, oh, I have to like give up some things. And that is true. With anti-inflammatory diet, you typically give up gluten and dairy, refined sugar, and alcohol. And you know, in the clients that I work with and the people that I talk to, I'm like, I know it sounds not so fun then, like, what do you eat? But the other part of the diet is adding in nutrients that are really going to help your body have the energy that you crave, help you to kickstart weight loss. It makes you feel better. And so, you know, there's this push and pull of, I don't want to give up my favorite things, but you actually want to feel better more than you want a slice of pizza. So how can you make the better choice for what it is that you're going to eat, knowing that it's going to fuel your body? And so it's really a lot of protein, vegetables, you know, definitely carbohydrates, but just different, not bread and things like that. Lots and lots of fresh vegetables, fresh fruit, produce. That's pretty much what the diet consists of.
And it sounds to me like the diet is basically whole foods, real food, real protein, from whatever that might be, and vegetables and fruits. You know, I mean, that's the kind of diet I tend to have myself now, but when you go out into society and you walk around, you go to maybe a restaurant, whatever it might be, nowadays, it's more challenging to find like whole foods. There's so much processed food. It's more of a challenge than people think, isn't it?
I think it can be. I think that this is where a lot of my work with clients comes in, is changing the mindset of what's hard and what's not, because it's harder to feel terrible every single day when you wake up. It is easier to go to your local restaurant and ask for steamed broccoli on the side. Is it as fun as the chips on the side? Probably not. But will it make you feel better so that you can do the meaningful activities that you want to do? Yes. And so it's really important to start advocating for ourselves. And when we go out, you can still go out. You can still have a burger. Just ditch the bun. You can still have things that you enjoy. You just need to think ahead a little bit more. And I encourage people to call ahead to restaurants or have sort of a bank of 5 or 6 restaurants where they know they can get the foods that they need, so that they can go out, enjoy a meal, and not feel like they're deprived when they're out eating that meal.
What does a typical breakfast, lunch, and dinner look like with an anti-inflammatory nutrition diet?
Yeah. So I think everybody who eats an anti-inflammatory diet might do it a little bit differently. It is going to be those whole foods. One of my favorite things to do, and I encourage everybody who's listening to just try this for 2 days in a row, to start your day with vegetables, protein, and a little bit of carbohydrates. And so my breakfast almost every day is a giant bowl of roasted broccoli with chicken and some brown rice. And it sounds weird. And actually, my mother-in-law is staying with us right now. She asked me this morning, she said, "Ashley, is that your lunch?" I said, no, it's my breakfast. But what happens when we fuel ourselves up from the very start of the day with a big dose of protein, we aim for 30 grams of protein in the morning, and some vegetables, which are going to give you some fiber, all of that's going to help you to stay fuller for longer. It's also going to make your body feel really good. And so I encourage people to just try this like protein, veggie, carbohydrate combo in the morning and see how you feel by 11:30 or 12. Are you hungry for lunch or do you feel like you have tons of energy? You probably have more energy. And then throughout the day, it's really the idea of the diet is that you're eating regularly throughout the day, maybe every 2, 3, 3.5 hours. And then again, just really filling up, like salads are a staple for lunch. You can get salads anywhere if you're out and about or it's easy to pack. Just really, really fueling up on those whole foods.
Fantastic. For moms that are listening out there, how do you help clients balance their nutrition needs with what their family want to eat?
Yeah. That's a big challenge. So as I mentioned, I was a single mom when I first started this healing journey. And because my son was growing at the time, he was almost 6 feet tall then, and not quite 6 feet tall, but he was pretty tall. And he wanted all sorts of things like ribs and meat and mashed potatoes and things that were really hearty for him. And then I would try and serve him zucchini noodles. And he would say, "No, mom, that is not happening." So what I encourage moms to do is find meals that they can make in sort of like a component style. So if you're going to make pasta, for example, you can make yourself zucchini noodles and you can make your family regular pasta noodles, but then you can make meatballs and a sauce that everyone can use. So you're making what you need, your family's getting what they want, and it's really easy to put everything together because essentially you're having the same meal.
I think you mentioned just a bit earlier that it can be a bit challenging, like you mentioned with your son, for example. Have any of the people that you've worked with mentioned other challenges around this?
Yes, I think really the biggest challenge is that their family wants to eat a certain way, and we have to work a little bit on the mindset. It's this deprivation mindset. I see my family eating the, you know, pasta and marinara sauce, and that looks so good. I feel sad that I don't get that. And what we need to do is sort of reframe in our brain. Hey, guess what, brain? We're actually eating the same marinara sauce, the meatballs. It's just that our noodles are a little bit different. Or maybe we're having a slice of gluten-free, you know, garlic bread instead of the regular garlic bread. So it feels difficult because moms are in the kitchen cooking a meal and their family gets to eat one thing. They have to eat something different, and that can feel frustrating. So it's often not necessarily about the food. It's about the way we are thinking about the food that is the challenge to overcome.
Of course. It's all about mindset, isn't it, as well?
Yes. Yeah, completely. And I think our brain is just very good at feeding us stories that we just are inclined to say, "Oh, well, that must be true. Like, it's too hard to eat this way, or it's too hard to figure out how to cook for my family or how to cook, you know, for myself and how to balance it all." But really it's not. It takes a little bit of extra effort. But once you put in that effort, the outcome is so much better. You feel better. You lose the weight. You know, have more energy. But we have to keep retraining our brains to get to that point where we believe that news story.
Absolutely. And you say planning, it means being a bit more smart with what you're buying, what you're storing, and the planning each day of what is going to be made for, like, whatever, maybe dinner or lunch or whatever it is, isn't it?
Yeah, the planning, I think, is essential. And I actually developed a method I call component cooking. And it really is that I offer recipes and meal plans and all this kind of thing. Nothing that I offer is ever a one dish meal. So you won't find lasagna or a soup or anything like that, because when you cook in components, so you have a protein, whatever you're, say you have chicken for the night, and maybe you have, I don't know, whatever else you're serving, some noodles, you can have a gluten-free option and a gluten-filled option. And then you can have a veggie on the side. So we're cooking in these, it's kind of a macros style, if people are familiar with that. You know, you have your protein, your veg, your carbohydrate. And when you eat in components, it allows you to have so much flexibility in what you're going to consume and what your family will consume. And so if you try and get away from these one dish meals, you're going to find that it's a lot easier to be able to make something that works for you and works for your family without spending a lot of extra time in the kitchen.
No, absolutely. And, you know, it sounds like it just means a lot of planning and organization. We're just going to another quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Ashley, weight loss is a big challenge for women with thyroid issues, but you have a different approach. Is that right?
I do. So we've kind of alluded to it throughout our conversation, Gavin, but it's really learning how to manage your brain. And I often hear from women that I work with, the two things they say are, I don't have time, or this is too hard. And the other thing that I hear all the time is, I have tried literally everything to lose weight or to feel better, and nothing works. And when we start digging in, what we find is, you know, if we're using the weight loss example, we find that, well, maybe that woman that I'm talking to, she thinks that she's doing everything, but in reality, she's probably having lots of wine on the weekends, or she's going out on Thursday and Friday night to dinner with her partner and not really watching what she eats. And so our brain wants us to think, it's always looking for this path of least resistance. So if we say to ourselves, I have tried everything to lose weight and nothing works, what that does is brain lets us off the hook. Oh, well, nothing works, right? I guess I'm not going to be able to lose weight. So what? So I'm going to go eat the bag of chips. What we need to do is start noticing when our brain is looking for that path of least resistance, because that is where we will find the change that allows us to lose the weight. And if we keep living in those stories and believing them of nothing works, or it's too hard, or I can't do this, or I have to cook for my family, you're just constantly letting yourself off the hook. So it's not really an excuse, because your brain is doing what it's supposed to do. It's it's protecting you, it's conserving energy. That is your brain's job. But if we look at it differently to say, you know what, brain is just telling me a story to save energy, I'm going to expend the energy anyway and find out what happens if I put forth the energy. Oh, I start to lose weight. I start to feel better. So by working on shifting how we think and how we think about food and weight loss and what our role is in our own health journey, it really changes the game for women to actually lose the weight and keep it off. I think this is one of the biggest challenges, is there are a lot of programs out there that can tell you what to eat. They do not tell you how to think as you're going through your weight loss journey. And if you can uncrack that code for yourself, your whole world will change. You'll lose the weight, but you'll start seeing in every area of your life, wow, my brain is offering me these stories, and this is the work that we need to do.
You lost 55 pounds and put your Hashimoto's in remission, basically. For listeners who are feeling stuck with weight loss and health issues, what would be the first place for them to get started today?
Definitely food. It is the easiest place to start. It's the most actionable, and you have to eat. So let's just make some different changes. And I really encourage people to start just looking at your day of, how many whole foods am I eating today? How many vegetables am I having? Did I prioritize protein above everything else? And just by making those small, simple shifts, it really will have a quick and impactful, you know, result on your body. I actually have some guides. People can reach out to me. I've got a meal plan that you can actually try anti-inflammatory eating for an entire week. And it's really amazing to see that you can still have burgers and quesadillas and Greek chicken bowls and things that taste really good. You're not feeling deprived at all, but you're eating the right foods for your body. It starts with food. The rest of it will come, but starting with food is the easiest, fastest way to get started.
What are three reasons you typically see that are stopping women from losing weight?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I think the first one is women will come to me and they have so much information. They have gathered, you know, Pinterest pins and meal plans and lists and recipes and everything. And their comment to me is, I have so much information and I still don't know where to start. So I think that that's a problem, is this like gathering and hoping that gathering the information will help you. The next problem is that they're expecting that they will have fast results like they did when they were 20. It doesn't happen. As we age, losing weight gets harder. Healing our bodies gets harder. You know, we have, like for me, I'm turning 50 next year. I have 50 years on me of, you know, things that I need to correct in my body. So expecting it to happen quickly is definitely a challenge. And then I think the third biggest challenge for moms specifically is really not prioritizing their own health and wellness. We all do this as moms. We say, well, my kids need this, or I've got to cook this for my family. And is at the end of the day, they recognize, wow, I didn't take that walk at lunch because somebody else needed something. I didn't, you know, make what I needed to for dinner because my family didn't want that. These things are really stopping women from losing weight. And if we keep living in this place where we're like gathering the information and, you know, trying to expect these quick results, we're just not going to get anywhere.
I think it's the expecting quick results is, I think we're all a bit guilty of that, aren't we? And what I hear people talk about realistically is if you have the kind of diet which fits your lifestyle, that's when it becomes more realistic and there's a lot more longevity.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And that's why I try to offer meal plans and an approach that it definitely fits with your life. I work with corporate women who are traveling. I used to travel myself every 6 weeks and I still was able to stick with an anti-inflammatory diet. There are food swaps that you can make. There are actually some packaged foods that you can buy that are still healthy and anti-inflammatory, but make your journey a lot easier. It just takes that mindset shift to say, oh, I actually can do this with my busy life, with my travel schedule, with my job. It's possible. I just need to get myself there, and then it's sustainable and you'll feel better for doing it.
Absolutely. Mindset's everything, isn't it? You know, being positive, you know, with your health and what you're eating and basically everything. So it sounds like you incorporate that a lot into the work you do with your clients.
Definitely. It is the major, you know, a lot of women come to me and they think they're just going to get some meal plans and a food list and maybe some workouts. And they are amazed to walk away feeling like they actually have more control over their bodies compared to what they thought before we started working together. It's changing that brain and the stories that the brain gives us. It will change everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds it. Ashley, where can people find out more about you and what you do? And if they want to touch base for your services or just need some advice, where can they get a hold of you?
Yes, I love to connect with people on these topics. I literally talk about food all day long. So you can find me on the web at the ashleymalik.com, M-A-L-I-K. Or you can find me at Instagram at the Ashley Malik. And yeah, those are the best places to connect with me. I have a bunch of helpful resources and articles on my website. You can also grab the free meal plan there just right on my homepage. And I really encourage people to do that and just check out the meal plan and see how it's so cool that you can eat what you want and get your family fed and heal your insides and kickstart weight loss. It's totally possible.
And the meal plan is breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Is that right?
So this particular meal plan, I talk a little bit about what to do for breakfast and lunch because I think those are a little bit easier to get through. And then I provide full recipes for 7 nights of dinner and also a dessert recipe that's pretty delicious.
Thank you so much, Ashley, for today. Really helpful. That, and, you know, thank you for sharing the information about you and, you know, how you're helping people out there as well with the health conditions that we've discussed, you know?
Yeah, this has been great, Gavin. And I hope this really encourages people out there who are feeling tired, sluggish, like they can't lose weight. There are options. Start with the food. Start today with the food that you're choosing.
Brilliant. Thank you so much again. And thank you to our listeners. You know you can find me on Instagram at GavinJ417. Until next time, take care.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.